Welcome to the Envision Crystal Clear podcast with Lisa McGarrity. Lisa has been doing healing, crystal work, and mediumship for quite a few decades now. The store you started in wasn't yours originally, right?
That's right. I came to work here at Envision Crystal quite a few years ago. It opened in 1987. I think I became a part of the shop around 1990, and I've been here pretty much ever since.
So, second you say medium, most people that don't know much about this are going to go, wow, you talk to dead people.
Sometimes.
And that in itself can be scary. Envision Crystal sells all kinds of trinkets and medallions and things to protect yourself for different reasons. I do know this from growing up around it. When it comes to mediumship, sometimes the spirits that come to you are not necessarily friendly.
Correct. That's true. I definitely have had experiences with less than friendly spirits, upset spirits, worried spirits, terrified spirits. I think we have this idea that once you die, somehow you get your gold halo and your set of wings and everything's perfect. But that's not true. That's not true at all. And I think sometimes the same types of emotional challenges we face here do kind of go with us on the journey. We get a chance over there to work it out, to come to some type of peace, but it's not always instantaneous.
So the spirits that come to you sometimes, they're stuck between realms. They haven't been able to cross over yet. Are you able to help them from this side using crystals and magic and things that you've learned throughout the years?
When I can help spirits, it's the best thing in the world. And very often to have a mediumship reading does help because, you know, they want to still communicate something to their loved ones that they left behind or vice versa. Sometimes people have questions for the deceased, and I like to do that. I always leave space in my readings for questions for the dead because sometimes there's things we need to know or things we still need to talk about, kind of that one last conversation. I believe that we need to remember our ancestors, our loved ones who've crossed over. And it's something that's been kind of missing from society, right? Like in other cultures, they honor the dead. They honor the elders that crossed over. And we've kind of gotten out of the habit of doing that in, say, American culture, Western culture. So for people who do make that a practice in general, their lives are better. Their relationship with their children can even be better. And the whole flow of the family can be smoother and happier when it's done right.
What do you think happened where all of a sudden we stopped honoring the dead? And now it's almost taboo. Stop it. You can't talk to dead people. Knock it off. Where do you think we went different?
Yeah, gosh, that's a good question, right? It may have something to do with Christianity, which I think is a beautiful religion and has lots of good attributes. But I think there's been this kind of idea of, you know, you live as well as you can. And then, oh, no, they're in a different realm. That unbroken chain got a little bit broken by some of the more traditional practices of the Christian religion. If you go to cultures where, you know, places on the earth where there's still indigenous culture, they are more likely to have reverence for the deceased, whether that's Native American culture, Hindu culture, African culture. You know, they have an ongoing practice of honoring the deceased. And we kind of lost that habit, although it's coming back. And we have things like Day of the Dead, and you know, people are starting to realize, like, oh, wait, maybe my deceased grandmother, grandfather, great-grandmother is actually looking over my shoulder, and maybe that's cool. Maybe that's okay.
So you mentioned people having better relationships with their kids and even themselves, but what are some of the benefits of keeping a deceased loved one nearby? I know for me, whenever the Mets are on, I could feel and hear my grandmother was loud enough where you can hear her now from heaven, but that's
I think
my,
I just heard her.
Oh, this is what you're doing now, Brian.
Exactly. Really, Brian?
It's fun, though, because I know that there can be a fear of the deceased, a fear of talking to somebody that's not here anymore. But what can you say to somebody that might be apprehensive, but in the long run can benefit from having a connection to a deceased loved one?
I mean, I think for anybody who is a parent or a grandparent, there's no one in the world you love more than your child or your grandchild. So that love doesn't end when your physical life ends. It carries on. So what better, you know, protector could you have than a grandmother, a grandfather, an uncle, somebody who loves you, really just kind of whispering in your ear or showing you signs? It's the most pure, most amazing protection you could possibly have in your life.
When somebody comes to you and says, I think I'm feeling my grandmother. I think I'm feeling a friend. How do you help somebody through connecting with a loved one? Because I've heard you say this. I've heard other mediums say this, that everybody has it, quote unquote. Everyone can connect on some level to a loved one, to the deceased. How, like, what signs would you look at to feel that they're with you?
Right. I mean, I definitely think that we all have it, that mediumship is natural. It's a human skill. We're all supposed to have it. But we are all a little bit different. So some people are feelers, and some people will feel things in their body, a pressure in your chest or a certain vibration in your stomach, and that's how they begin to receive information. I bet you're probably, I'm suspecting, clairaudient because of the type of work you do. Words, music, sounds, vibrations are definitely going to come into your head, and that can be the way you get messages. And for some people, they're very visual, so they might really see the way I'm looking at you across the table. But some people see in their mind's eye, deep in their mind's eye, and that's just as valid. That's another way to get a message.
Now, it can be not only frightening but overwhelming when spirits come. You know, you mentioned what I do. I'm a radio DJ. I work with radio waves sometimes, and I don't have a specific spirit's voice in mind, but sometimes I am fried at the end of 5 hours because of just too much energy around. So how do you protect yourself and regulate it so that these spirits only come when you want them to?
It's not that different what you and I do, right? Because you work with sound and vibration, I work with vibration too. It's actually really similar. And yes, after many hours of doing the same thing, we will get a little frazzled. For me, I describe it like it feels like my aura is too stretched open. I don't know if that's what's happening to you, but that's a possibility. So that would be a time to do something that in my practice we would say we call grounding, reconnecting to earth, bringing your energy field in a little tighter, a little closer to home. And that might help you feel a little bit more balanced.
Are there crystals out there that can amplify your connection with the deceased? What can I pick up here at Envision Crystal? What kind of crystals can I look for to help have a connection with maybe friends that have passed or family?
Well, always you can begin with clear quartz. That's a perfect place to begin. But another great stone for amplifying your communication with the deceased is obsidian, which is a form of volcanic glass. It's usually a black stone. Sometimes it's got little gray or white spots. We call that snowflake obsidian. And back in the day, we used to call that the stone of truth. It can really amplify any type of spirit communication and help us open up to the realm of the deceased as well. Jet is another good one. Black tourmaline is another good one. Labradorite is another good stone for communicating. And even lapis can be used for communicating with ancestors and the deceased.
We'll start with obsidian because that's the one that I know. How do you use obsidian to amplify your connection?
So if I were to want to, I probably have some. Okay, so right here on our table, I happen to have right here a beautiful black obsidian heart. And when I'm reading for people, I might hold this. And now I'm going to hold this on my left hand because the left side of our body is where we receive energy. So I'm going to hold that. And I'm going to make the intention when I pick it up that this beautiful stone will help me to receive clearly, accurately, and truthfully. Anybody can do that, to find a little piece, hold it on the left side, go into a light meditation, and see what happens. You might find you're hearing from people right away.
When the messages come, what do you look for? You know, for a novice, for somebody that's holding that obsidian now, and all of a sudden, here comes Grandpa, and he's got something to say. I know that it's not necessarily a conversation like we're having now. Like, what would somebody listen for or feel for?
So I think you would notice it's almost like a memory, sort of the energy of that person. So even if I'm not near you and I think of Brian, I'm like, oh, Brian. And there's a certain energy that goes with him, right? Okay. So same thing with your grandfather. He had a certain energy, I bet. And you'll lean into your own mind and remember that energy and see if you feel it. It may kind of interrupt you. If you're going about your day, you're cleaning the house, you're doing your tests, and then, boom, that energy might creep up on you. So just pay attention. And it'll feel a lot like a memory. But if you have that memory, then, you know, give it a minute because that really might be a message trying to come through.
You know, it's a beautiful thing to be able to know that your grandparents are with you or a loved one is with you. But how, you know, you see it in movies, you see it in TV. And part of the reason why I have been so skeptical throughout the years is it's like, okay, somebody died, they went to heaven. Now they're going to protect you for the rest of their lives. But what if that person didn't always make the best decisions. They could love you, just like in life, but they weren't necessarily smart at guiding you here. What makes me think that they're better at it on the other side?
Well, you're making me laugh because that's something I always tell people when I'm reading for them.
Okay.
I always say, listen, if you were sitting at the kitchen table and your uncle Ralph and your grandfather and your neighbor who are all deceased now were sitting at the kitchen table giving you their opinion, you might say yes and you might say no. You may not listen to them, right? Honestly, from the bottom of my heart, I'm going to tell you, same thing with the folks who are deceased. You don't have to do what they tell you, but it's one more input, okay? So they love you. They're sending a loving vibration if you have a good relationship with them, and they'll tell you what they think you ought to do, but you're still in charge of your life. So you still have to be the one that says yes or no to whatever guidance comes through. Because, you know, I love my mother. She was a beautiful woman. She was amazing. Some of her decisions were not always, sorry, Mom, sorry,
yeah.
were not always the best, right? She was fun and funny and a great human being. Some of her choices were questionable. So, you know, if she gives me advice, I listen, just like I always did. But in the end, I have to choose. I have to choose.
So you're still keeping the same relationship in the afterlife that you had in this one. Don't change anything.
Don't change anything. I would leave room for your person that you adore and love to grow and change. And hopefully we're here also growing and changing, right? So they might learn more. They might give up some bad habits. They might acquire wisdom. Hopefully we're doing the same thing here. But don't expect them to be omniscient or perfect or give absolute perfect guidance, because they probably won't.
So that's mediumship.
That's
and
mediumship,
then
yeah.
there's psychic. And psychic is sort of being able to see what's going on, giving you advice for the future. Then there's the phrase psychic medium. So how is it broken down and how is it combined? Because our loved ones don't necessarily see the future, right? It's like
right.
grandma says this is going to happen. But that's really not, if she wasn't a psychic, then...
Even if she was a psychic, it's still, you know, there's always so many factors in predicting the future. So... you know, I think they're two different skills, but they are related skills. And the way that they're related is that the person who is the tool, right, because the medium is kind of the tool,
okay.
can get into an altered state. So they can get into an altered state and they can speak with the deceased, or they can get into an altered state and speak with spirit guides, or they can get into an altered state and do a little bit of all that, but also peek into the future. So when we're peeking into the future, we're not necessarily saying like, oh, this is it. This will happen. There's not one future, right? But what a great psychic will do is tell you, hey, here's a probable future. Do you like this future? Does it look good to you? If you like it, keep doing what you're doing. You're on the right track. If you don't like it, time to make some change so that we can change that outcome. Because we do have free will here, and we do have the power to change a lot of things.
Yeah, I feel like anyone can approach a future or screw up a future in the blink of an eye.
Oh, yeah. One dumb moment, it's all out the window.
Yeah, story of my life. We're talking with Lisa from Envision Crystal, and we're learning a bit about not only how to connect with our loved ones, but what tools to use to do that. Now, not everybody that comes through is going to be friendly, even if we knew them. How do you keep out deceased family members that you didn't want a connection with in life? They may come back. What if they're angry?
That does happen, right? Unfortunately. And I do try to encourage people to practice forgiveness, even for those who were real difficult and caused destruction. But forgiveness doesn't mean you have to tolerate bad behavior. So you didn't have to tolerate it when they were here, and you shouldn't allow anyone to come bother you from the next world either. You have to kind of firmly say to whoever might be disturbing you, I see you, I hear you, you can't stay, you have to move on. You may want to visualize that person in white light, crossing a bridge, going back to where they need to be. You may want to write to them. You can write a letter to them, let them know, like, I appreciate you, thank them for anything you can thank them for, but then give a firm statement of, you can't come through right now. I'm not ready to interact with you. Because here in the living, here on Earth, right, we are the living. So we have the right to set some boundaries. Okay.
Are there crystals that you can use to keep the bad spirit? I don't want to say evil, but the bad spirits away?
I mean, I do think there is such a thing as evil, although hopefully we're not talking about our family when we're talking about evil. Hopefully, right? But, yeah. I mean, I do think there are destructive spirits out there, and if you don't understand that, that's where you can make a mistake. So you do need to know that. My favorite, and if we were at my house, I would have a lot of it to show you. But my favorite stone, it's a simple stone. It's called tourmalinated quartz. So it's a quartz crystal with black lines running through it. And those black lines are black tourmaline. And okay. It just grows that way in nature. I love that for setting boundaries. You'll find that on my windowsills in my home. It sets a boundary. It has the two minerals formed together, so I find it extra potent. And I charge those crystals and put them around my space just for keeping out any energy that I don't want in. So that's an easy one.
When you feel energy that you don't want, when they breach boundaries, when they get through, what is the best thing you can do to get rid of it?
Get mad. No, I'm teasing. But you should be able to get angry. You should be able to say, hey, no, enough. Right. You're no longer welcome. And I think one of the things that New Age people can be guilty of is to be a little too nicey nice, right? A little too love and light. It's okay. If someone has breached your boundary, if someone's intruding in your physical space, literally into your body, and you don't want them hanging out, it's okay to firmly say, you have no permission to be here. Get out. That's okay.
This is Lisa from Envision Crystal. This is the Envision Crystal Clear podcast. She had mentioned the difference briefly between spirits and spirit guides. And in the next episode, I want to talk about the more reliable source of deceased guide that can help us through life. And that would be the spirit guide, right?
Absolutely, yes.
In the next episode, we'll be talking. We'll see you soon.
Thanks, Brian.